The first part of our gold seminar was a fun session. This is where we really get down to the nitty-gritty. This is where we go to work. This is where the rubber meets the road. We get into the step-by-step process of setting those goals. There are a number of steps involved. Step number one is you print everything you want to be or do or have. Now, you got to be before you can do, and you got to do before you can have. The reason we want to print is simply because it requires greater concentration, and it will move it into our subconscious mind more firmly if we do the printing. I have no way of proving my next statement. I believe it is true. I've read enough to be convinced that it has a considerable amount of validity. I might overstate it slightly. I hope not. I personally am convinced that the greatest benefit which comes from specifically setting your goals is this. It directs your left brain, which means that you are freeing your right brain for the creativity which it is designed to do. What you will get from it, I believe, in the freeing of that right brain, when you automatically have that left brain directed towards the realistic goals of life, will be enormously valuable. Print everything you want to be or do or have. Put it on a sheet entitled Wild Idea Sheet. Now, just in case you're sitting there thinking, Ziegler, it'll take me 3 days to print down everything I want to be or do or have, let me assure you that by the end of 1 hour, you will have printed 95% of everything you will put on that list at this time. Now, during the next 24 to 48 hours, you might add a few more things. There won't really be that many. But you let it sit after you print it, let it sit from 24 to 48 hours, and then at the end of that period of time, you might have added 3 or 4 things to it, but at the end of that time, you get the list back out and you write one word after each thing you've printed. The word is why. Why do I want to be or do or have? Now I've spent a couple of minutes telling you that you ought to print those things down. We will spend the rest of this entire session working at getting a lot of those things off. It's easy to print down the other things you want. But are they real goals, real burning desires in our life, or are they just whims? You see, the real task is going to come in finding out what it is we really want, that we really want to work on now, that will make a difference in our life. We're going to start eliminating those things. Now, this is going to sound just a little bit negative, but it really isn't negative. I might as well tell you folks, you can't have everything you want to be and do and have. The other day, I was going over some of my objectives, and I just wrote down some of the things that I want to do this year. This year. Let's look at some of them. First of all, I would like to take a couple of courses in Bible college. I'd like to have a lot more time with my wife, my children, and my grandchildren. I would like to be conducting more family seminars. I want to get my daily radio program functioning again. I want a daily newspaper column. I want to play golf 5 to 6 days each week. I want to be active in a lot of the activities going on. For example, I would like to get the advertising of booze off television. I think that's a national disgrace. I would like to also be more active in helping clean up some of the things that are taking place on it. I would like to work in the political campaign and get qualified people in public office. I would like to spend more time fighting pornography. I want to spend more time with my staff. I want to write at least one book each year. I want to learn how to speak Spanish. I want to become socially involved with my neighbors. I want to read and research a minimum of 3 and preferably 4 hours each day. I want to spend at least an hour a day jogging and exercising and taking care of my health. I want to be active in the civic and social clubs around here. I want to be able to set a record for those people who are 61 and over at the Cooper Clinic. I want to go to both Russia and China, and I would love to eat Brahms French chocolate almond ice cream 3 times every day. Now, to be realistic, and this is not being negative, I honestly don't think I can do all those things. Would most of you agree with that? So now, what have I got to do? I've got to say no to the good so I can say yes to the best. That's what we want to do, is we want to figure out a way that we can, in fact, work on those things which are really significant. Remember, we printed it down. Second thing we've done, we've asked the question, why? Now, if you cannot articulate in one sentence as to why you want to be or do or have, then that thing comes off the list. That's step number 3, shorten that list. Now we've gotten the list shortened, we need to balance the list. As you look at it, make a determination as you go down the list. If it's a physical goal, designate it physical. If it's mental, put mental. If it's spiritual, put spiritual. If it's social, put social. Financial and career and family. Go down, there are 7 areas for setting goals. You might have listed all of the goals in just 1 or 2 or 3 areas. Let me stress a point. If you set only 1 or 2 goals and really are deadly serious about it, the odds are prohibitive that you will, in fact, reach that goal if you'll follow the procedure. I'm not at all certain that you'll be very happy when you get there, but you will, in all probability, reach that goal. You can become warped in one particular area. You might have a higher standard of living, but where would your quality of life be? Step number 5, we need to explore what we call the basic 6. You ask yourself these questions. Will reaching this goal make me happier? Now, we need to pause a moment and differentiate between pleasure and happiness. Pleasure, generally speaking, is very short-lived. Every one of us needs to have some pleasure. But we also should ask ourselves this question when we get involved in pleasure. Can I repeat this pleasure indefinitely and be happy as a result? Very important question. For example, I'm very serious when I say I would like to eat some Brahms French chocolate almond ice cream 3 times every day. That would give me much pleasure. I do not know how happy I would be at 468 pounds. So that's the decision I got to make. Will reaching this goal make me healthier? Will reaching this goal make me more prosperous? Will reaching this goal make me more secure? Will reaching this goal make me more friends? Will reaching this goal bring me peace of mind? And then if you happen to have a family, will reaching this goal improve my family relationships? We need to keep that in mind. Now, any time you cannot answer yes to at least one of those questions, you need to strike more goals off, more of the things that you've printed. Very important. Do not black out. Do not obliterate what you've written down or printed. Because that might not be a goal that is real for you right now. But 2 years from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, it might. So you might set some goals right now, and it is not the proper time. That's the reason we go through all of this procedure. You might need to do some growing in order to reach your objectives a little later. We need to have the basic objective of being totally successful. Again, I'm talking about quality of life. I had a young man in my office a few months ago, and this young man had a hero. The young man himself was about 22 years old. His hero was about 29 years old. The young man in my office had modeled his life after his hero, and he was pursuing objectives the same as his hero was. Well, we talked there a few minutes, and we started evaluating. I asked the young man what he wanted. The bottom line is we all want the same thing. Everybody I've ever seen in my life wants to be happy. I've never yet met somebody who said, no, I want to be miserable. Everybody wants to be healthy. Everybody wants to be at least reasonably prosperous. I bet some of you listening to this want to be unreasonably prosperous, okay? You know, I get a charge out of people who say, well, I don't want to make a lot of money. I just believe people who say that lie about other things, too. And don't misunderstand, money's not everything. I mean, there's stocks and bonds and real estate and what have you. I've had money and I haven't had it, and overall it's better to have it. But anyhow, everybody wants to be secure. Everybody wants to have friends. Everybody wants to have peace of mind. And if they're married, they want good family relationships. The young man confessed that those are the things he wanted. I said, well, now let's look at your role model. Let's look at your hero. Let's go down the list. How happy is he? He said, well, I don't really know, but I do know that he has ulcers. Well, I said, that answers that question. It also tells me how much peace of mind he has and how healthy he is. So let's take three of those things off. He's already missed out on them. I said, how many friends does he have? And he said, well, as far as I know, I'm the only one. And he said, I'm really not a friend. I just happen to admire what he's been able to do. So I said, well, we can scratch that one off, too. He said, yeah. I said, what about his family relationships? Well, he's separated from his wife. We went right down the list. This young man had chosen a hero who was successful in one area of his life. Good standard of living, low quality of life. That's what we want to keep in mind on this. Now, what is success? I would like to share with you what I believe success, real success is. You see, from my perspective, if I were to go all the way to the top in this profession which I have chosen, become the best in the whole world at what I do, and then one day had one of my children, I have three grown daughters and a grown son, had one of my children come to me and said, you know, Dad, it would have just meant everything to me if when I was growing up as a child that you would have had some time for me. You know, Dad, if sometimes at night, if you could have been there just to tuck me in, maybe to hug away some of my hurts and kiss away some of my tears. Had you ever been there in the morning to wake me up and play with me and take me to school and kiss me goodbye in the morning? Had you ever been around, Dad, to go to a school play or an open house at the school or a ball game? Had you been there to give me some of the advice you so freely gave to people all over the world? Had you been there, Dad, maybe my life would not have been the series of tragedies which it has. Had that happened to me, folks, I'd be one more broken-hearted daddy, because I deeply love my children. I'm so grateful that I was able to dedicate raising positive kids in a negative world to my four as being the most positive kids I know anywhere. If in my drive for fame and fortune, had I destroyed my health and sacrificed my integrity to gain the money, I would have said the price was prohibitive, out of the question. I won't pay it. And if in my quest for the ring of fame, the career that I was so excited about, if in my pursuit of fame and fortune, had I ruptured the relationship with that beautiful redhead whom God gave me over 41 years ago, I'd be the most miserable human being you have ever seen in your life. Because I'll confess that after 41 years, not only do I deeply love my wife, not only is she by far the most important person on the face of this earth to me, but the reality is I have a crush on that redhead. Now, I know some of you young whippersnappers who've only been married 25 or 30 years might find this difficult to relate to, but after 41 years, I find that my wife is more beautiful to me than she was on our wedding day. There's just not enough success around to have compensated for the destruction of that relationship. But the beautiful thing is this, in my heart and in my head, I know beyond any doubt that it is because of that relationship that I've been able to do most of the things that I've been able to do. I was never able to give that redhead financial security until after I was 47 years old. I was 20 years old when we got married. For 27 years, it was nip and tuck. Not once in 27 years did she ever say, well, you know, if we had the money, we could do like some of the other folks. It was always, tomorrow is going to be better. I know that you can do it. There's no question about the fact that it is because of the relationship that I've been able to do some of the things I have been able to do. Statistically speaking, I might also point out that I can give you evidence a mile long which clearly says that people who have good relationships at home are more effective in the marketplace. And then, of course, when it gets down to goals, as St. Matthew said so long ago, what profited a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? I'm talking about total success, ladies and gentlemen. And that's what we're looking at here in the setting of our goals. And if we don't set those goals, the chances are pretty strong we're not going to be reaching those goals. Now, the next step, step number 6, is we need to remember that some goals must be big. We need some big goals to make us stretch, to make us reach. I love the story of Gentleman Jim Corbett, the former heavyweight champion of the world. He was out doing his road work one morning when he saw a fisherman pulling in the fish. He was pulling in big ones and little ones. Corbett noticed him very carefully, and he was keeping the little ones and throwing the big ones back. Now, being a fisherman himself, he had never seen such conduct by a fisherman, so he ran over to him and he said, "Man, I don't understand this. I'm a fisherman. I've never seen anybody keep the little ones and throw back the big ones. Why are you doing it?" The fisherman sadly shook his head. He said, "Man, I hate to do it, but," he said, "I don't have any choice." He said, "I have to throw the big ones back because all I've got is just this little old bitty frying pan." Now, before you laugh too loudly, let me point out he's talking about you and he's talking about me. So many times we get the big goal, the big dream, the big idea, and no sooner do we get it than we say, "Oh, no, Lord, don't give me such a big one. All I've got is just this little old bitty frying pan. Besides that, you know, if it's any good, somebody else would already have thought about it. Just give me one of those little ones." But, folks, we got to have some big goals to make us stretch and use the ability which is inside of us. Some goals must be long range. Wednesday afternoon at 20 minutes after 5, I will get aboard an aircraft here at DFW, and I'll be headed for St. Louis, Missouri. For the first 20 minutes, we will be going straight to St. Louis. At that point, I have no idea where we'll be going. It won't be St. Louis. The direction of the wind and the velocity of the wind will change. The gravitational pull of the earth, the sun, the moon, and the stars will pull us slightly off course. So we will turn, the captain will turn the aircraft around, come back to Dallas, and we will land and start over. Somehow or another, I see a degree of skepticism on the face of our live audience here. How many of you doubt that I've told the truth? Okay. Now, what the captain will do, very obviously, is he will make an adjustment. He will not change his decision to go. He will change his direction to get there. My brother really taught me that one. Judge Ziegler, who does the same thing I do. And it really was one of those phrases that really is a grabber. You don't change your decision to go. You might have to change your direction to get there. Now, this is after you've really got the goal set. That is a very important consideration. You need to have long-range goals, and I must tell you why you've got to have long-range goals. There's trouble in front of you. I don't care what you do. You got trouble in front of you. You think your kid's going to be the starting quarterback and is going to get cut on the first go-round. You think your new salesperson is going to break all kind of records and the bum's not even going to show up for the first day of training. You think you're going to get the promotion, you're going to get your walk-in papers. You think good things are going to happen to you and bad things happen instead. I mean, now, that's just a fact of life. How many of you have already experienced some of those things? Can I see your hands, all right? Now, let me tell you something. If you've got a long-range goal, then you treat those temporary setbacks like a pebble on the beach. If you don't have long-range goals, they will become the whole ocean front. The rule is simple. You go as far as you can see, and then when you get there, you will always be able to see further. You got to have some long-range goals. You got to have some goals which are small daily goals. Those are the nitty-gritty things. You know, everybody loves the big dream. Everybody loves the glamour of dreaming about the trip to Honolulu, dreaming about the trip around the world, dreaming about building their mansion, dreaming about having the first million and then the second million and so forth. But the reality is, in order for the big things to happen, you've got to have the little things designated along the way. Some goals need to be ongoing. Now, what's an ongoing goal? Well, your self-image, to build it, is an ongoing goal. Because even after you're an adult, even after you're 40 or 50 years old, you can have a devastating experience, I've seen it happen, and destroy the self-image. A man or woman might have been on the job 30 years, and then they change management, they're summarily dismissed. They cannot find employment for the next 6 months or year or 2 years. The impact can be devastating. Your mate might walk out on you. That can be a devastating blow to the self-image. And so we need some ongoing goals. Our health is an ongoing goal. My health is very definitely something I work on. I exercise at least 5 times each week. It's something I do on an ongoing basis. Spiritual goals are ongoing goals. Relationship goals are ongoing goals. Now, some goals have to be set with consultation. When I was going to lose the weight, I went over to the Cooper Clinic, and when Dr. Martin finished the examination, he said, "You need to lose 37 pounds. I knew I needed to lose some weight. I could tell that by looking at a picture of me on the diving board. At least part of me was on the diving board. I knew that I had a problem, but I did not know exactly how much I needed to lose. I went to him for him to tell me exactly how much I needed to lose. You might need help in setting your financial goals. If you're a student, it might be that you would need help in developing your curriculum so that you can be certain to accomplish the objectives you've set out. And that's especially important since over 80% of all college graduates in America, 10 years after graduation, are earning their living in a field which is completely unrelated to what they majored in while they were in school. Wouldn't it have been magnificent had they gone through the process years and years ago? Some goals must be very specific. You can take the hottest day the world has ever seen. Take the most powerful magnifying glass that you can find in any store. Hold that magnifying glass over a pile of newspaper clippings on the hottest day, and you'll never start a fire if you keep the glass moving. But the moment you hold it still, you harness the power of the sun, you magnify it through the glass, and boom, you've got the fire. You got to have some specific goals. How many of you are bird hunters? See your hands? When you go bird hunting, do you shoot the bird or do you shoot the flock? Tell me. You shoot the bird, don't you? If you shoot the flock, what will you have for supper? Roast beef, won't you? Okay. But it won't be bird. That's exactly right. You shoot the bird. Now, occasionally you'll get lucky and bring down another one, but you really got to go for the specific target. We've got to identify clearly the goals. Step number 7 in this goal-setting process. Now, understand, we're marking things off all the way down the line. Step number 7, you need to check for negativity. Some goals are negative. Now, which goals are negative? Well, a goal is negative if it's too big. If it is out of reach, that's one thing. If it is out of sight, that's something else. Unrealistic expectations are the very seedbed of depression. I was speaking in Detroit a number of years ago. I finished this session. A young man, 24 years old, came to me, all excited. He said, "You really got me turned on. I'm really excited, and I'm going to make $1 million. Well, I said, "That's wonderful. I hope you'll share it with me when you get it." He was a little perturbed because he thought I was, poking a little fun at him. He said, "No, I'm serious. I'm going to make $1 million, and I'm going to make it this year." Now, here's a young man whom I happen to know did not have the $2,500 for the franchise fee on the product that I was teaching and training for that particular company on that day. Now, he's 24 years old, been working 4 years, had been unable to save $2,500 in 4 years of effort. But in the next 12 months, he's going to earn $1 million. Now, you see, that's crazy. That had no foundation in fact or reason. So we worked with him at some little length on getting a more realistic goal, because the truth is $1 million in a year represents $20,000 a week. Assuming it took him 1 month to raise the $2,500 and he hadn't been able to do it in 4 years, I figured a month would be a fairly good job of raising the $2,500. At that point, he'd be $80,000 behind, and he would probably or possibly have thrown in the towel. We will be exploring what are the realistic goals that will still make us stretch. Now, the second thing, it could be negative if it is out of your field. I was speaking in Salt Lake City several years ago, again on a goal seminar. A young man, 30 years old, came to me. He was about 5 feet 7 inches tall, weighed about 210 pounds. He announced to me that his goal was to be the light heavyweight boxing champion of the world. I asked him how much experience he had had. Well, he said, "Saturday, my brother-in-law and I were out in the backyard boxing around." He said, "You can't believe how easily I handled him." I said, "How much experience has he had?" "Well, he hadn't had any experience either." Now, here's a guy headed for the cemetery. He would get killed. There's no question about it. That's completely out of his field. It can be negative if it is completely out of your field of interest. Number three, it is negative if you've got to depend on luck in order to get there. Now, if you'll put a P in front of the letter L, that is a different thing. If it's pluck that's going to be required, you got a chance. Now, remember what we're trying to do. Is we're trying to keep the main thing the main thing. That is the main thing. And so what we want to do is gradually work on down to the things that we really want.